Imagine that you're a very young girl, junior high school-aged girl from a small town. You're all alone when suddenly, out of the blue, a strange man comes up to you and starts talking to you. Since the time you were very young, your parents had warned you about talking to people outside of the family, and especially strange men. This has never happened to you before. It is just not done. But here, right now, there is a very strange man talking directly to you, and if you had one word to describe it, it would be
powerful.
And this makes the encounter all the more frightening. There is no one else around. Your first instinct is to run as fast as you can, get away. This is a dangerous situation. You look this way and that.
Where is everybody?
It's just you and him. What can he possibly want with you? You're just a kid, a scared kid. The only other man outside of your family that you've ever spoken to is Joseph, the carpenter. A friend of Joseph's had talked to your parents, and he told them that Joseph was interested in you and would like to marry you. Your parents agreed, and he had offered them presents. You barely knew him until the night of the engagement feast. Joseph had only spoken a few words, but he had put a ring on your finger that night. Your head was spinning.
What did I know about being married? What did I know about being with a man?
Now, as you stood before this stranger, you were shaking with fear, deeply troubled and wondered.
I was terrified and crazy with fear.
As he talks to you, and you get more and more uncomfortable, but at the same time, you begin to understand his words. There's a growing sense of peace. There's a kindness in his voice and gentleness in his eyes. Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been good to you. Your heart is no longer racing, but then he continues, you will get pregnant and have a son.
Now I am frightened all over again.
And the pounding in Mary's chest starts up. You barely understand what he says next. All you hear in your head is,
pregnant, baby.
The stranger goes on, you will call him Jesus. He will be called the Son of the Most High God, like David. He will be king over Israel forever, forever.
This is TMI, too much information for me, way too much for me to handle. No way. What you're saying is impossible. I haven't even slept with a man.
But there was something in those gentle eyes and the kindness in his voice that draws you back from your panic. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. You will know that something holy is happening to you. You will carry this baby and give birth to the Son of God.
Maybe the strange man could see the uncertainty and disbelief in my eyes, because then he'd said, listen, this will help you understand. Your old Auntie Elizabeth never had any kids. She always wanted them. Guess what? She is pregnant. 6 months along already. No one knows.
I was stunned.
It's a secret. If God makes a promise, it comes true.
Mary was stunned. She was speechless. She didn't know what to say, but the words started to form anyway and come out. They seemed to be coming directly from her heart.
Okay, I'll go along with this. Here I am. I am at your service. Bring it on, all of it.
And poof, as mysteriously as he had arrived, he was gone. Thank you, Mary. Mary had a baby, my Lord. Mary had a baby, my Lord. Mary had a baby, Mary had a baby. Mary had a baby, my Lord. What did she name him, my Lord? What did she name him, my Lord? What did she name him,
What did she name him? What did she name him? My Lord. She named him King Jesus, my Lord. She named him King Jesus, my Lord. She named him King Jesus. She named him King Jesus. She named him King Jesus, my Lord. Mary had a baby. Mary had a baby. Mary had a baby, my Lord.
Mary would have had many, many reasons to say no to the angel that day. Instead, even though it seemed a mission impossible, she accepted her assignment. And in doing so, Mary demonstrated a power and a confidence in God. She had serious questions about her ability to do her part. "How can this be?" she protested. But later she says, "May it happen to me as you have said." We lit the candle of hope this first Sunday in Advent. Hope is not confidence in our own abilities or what we can do or what we think we can do. Hope is confidence in the power of God. It is trusting that God is active in the present and confident that God will do what God intends to do. The Apostle Paul said there are only three things that last forever. Faith, love, and hope are eternal. It is a powerful force. Hope is the only antidote for fear. It's not the same as wishful thinking. Hebrews 11 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of things that we cannot see. Hope keeps us going when the situations facing us are threatening. Archbishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa fought for years against the corrupt system of apartheid. He spoke unceasingly for basic human rights to all people. There were times when the battle must have seemed hopeless. But he said, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness. Hope inspires us to keep doing the right thing. Sometimes hope allows us to patiently wait. Sometimes hope allows us to watch. Sometimes we work with hope in our hearts for the revealing of the kingdom of God. Michelle Obama said, you may not always have a comfortable life, and you will not always be able to solve all the world's problems at once. But don't underestimate the importance you can have, because history has shown us that courage can be contagious and that hope can take on a life of its own. Each of us needs to figure out what it is that we hope for, and then we need to live inside of that hope. Mary expressed her hope when she said to the angel, I am the Lord's servant, and may it happen to me as you have said. These words challenged me this week as I prepared for this sermon. What do I hope for? I ask myself. It is my prayer that I would always be open to God and that God would just use me. There's no greater privilege than being used by God for God's purposes, and that I would find joy in serving others as I follow Jesus. What is it that you hope for? Mary's words are a challenge to us all. Here I am. I am at your service. Bring it on, all of it. What do you hope for? We'll be watching Mary for the next 3 weeks. May she inspire us all with hope. Loving God, we thank you that Mary said yes. We thank you that you have come into the world, and now by the power of your Holy Spirit, you have entered our lives. I pray that we would renew our commitment to that love and that we would know a hope that transcends the darkness and that lightens our way. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we get to a full-fledged Christmas carol. Let's stand and sing, "Angels We Have Heard on High."